In today's gospel, my dear people, Jesus says that no one can come to me unless the Father draw him. I think I have told you a number of times that it is impossible for us to understand how it is that among a group of people who are now challenged with the great debate in the church and with the decision what they shall do in the face of the incredible and seemingly boundless chaos, we wonder how it is that some seem to respond, and this is to be found in practically every group, usually a majority, or rather a minority, and sometimes those who do perceive that they must do something, and perceive what it is they must do, come to these realizations very slowly. The same can be said for those who come into the Catholic Church. We have heard stories of conversions, and we sometimes wonder how it is that some can be very close to the church for years on end, and yet they never enter, and then others, by the strangest of seeming coincidences, come in almost naturally, without difficulty, as it were. Others have to struggle, and they toss and they turn for years before finally they experience the peace that comes with having entered into the divine embrace. The question, of course, is quite obvious also. How can it be that you perceive what you must do, and you cannot claim any special expertise? You cannot imagine that you are particularly learned. You cannot say that you are more virtuous than certain others who even oppose you and speak unkindly or dissuadingly to you about this matter. You, in other words, do not know how it is that you perceive what you must do, and you cannot flatter yourself that it is due to any merits on your part. The reason is exactly what Jesus describes today in the Gospel, how it is that some seem to find out what they must do, and they find not only Christ in the true faith, but they experience the great consolation, the great peace and security of being near him, of being protected by him, and of being supported and directed by his holy truth. Jesus explains, though, to us so that all of us may understand that no one comes except the Father draw him. And how is it that the Father draws him? It is by the Spirit of God, which is why this gospel was chosen during this Pentecost week. It is the divine Spirit who singles out those who are his own, and it is the Spirit within them who gives them to recognize the truth. This is an important fact. It is a most recondite mystery, simply because it is important that we never imagine that those of us who have been so blessed deserve any credit or are to be honored because there is some special goodness of our own. The lesson is that we can do nothing of ourselves if we happen to find what we must do, and if we do it, it is only because the Spirit of God has enabled us. And I say this is a very important mystery, because those who imagine that they are responsible for this are foolish, and also they are in great error. Among the most fierce battles that have had to be waged in the church is that against Pelagianism, which is a recurrent heresy. And it is the notion that we can do something on our own, something of ourselves, to find Christ and to please God. Whereas the church emphatically and incessantly has repeated, because it has had to repeat, that we can do nothing of ourselves. Simply reiterating what Christ himself said, without me you can do nothing. I'm not so interested this evening in emphasizing the absoluteness of that expression as reminding you that it is by the third person of the Blessed Trinity that you are able to do anything for your eternal salvation, anything that is meritorious. And it is by the Spirit which Jesus, in union with the Father, sent into the world and into the church at Pentecost, that this is so. Anything that happens for the glory of God in the supernatural order, anything that is ever achieved of a supernatural character, and that has eternal dimensions and significance, is done only because the Spirit of God is in the world causing these things to be. St. Paul explains how important it is that we learn this truth. It is in order that we may not ever boast, that we may never succumb to pride. Man, as you know I have said often, is so bent on his own glorification that he will, if he finds any cause at all, he will begin to credit himself with something, anything, in order to make himself larger or taller or greater than he is, which of course is what the devil hopes for, because pride goes before the fall and the destruction is something tragic. The point is that we must therefore cultivate the intimacy which Christ has given us with the Spirit. We must strive in every way to live in the Spirit so that he may do with us what he desires, so he may fulfill in us his holy designs. Let us stand now for the creed.